Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, "Some of that stuff wasn't junk"? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hey, welcome to the Junk Refund Show. This is Alan Cook, your host, here in Salt Lake City, Utah, at the FanX Convention Center at the Salt Palace, where we have a boatload of celebrities in town here for the biggest Comic-Con-type convention in the state of Utah. This has been going on for 11 years. My friends own and run this show, and so I've come out here the last 3 years to just help them out, and they put me on a function called Celebrity Row. There's about 100 celebrities that come into town for this convention and then sell their autographs and photo ops and stuff like that. And I'm the guy that gets assigned to one of these celebrities, and then they put me behind a table and people walk up and tell me how many autographs they want, you know, from William Shatner, who I helped out last year and or 2 years ago. And they hand over big wads of cash. And my job is to take the cash, stick it in an envelope, make sure nobody steals it from me. And then the celebrity gets the money at the end of the deal, I think. I'm not sure how that works. But it's an all-cash deal for these folks. And it's a great drawing card to get people to come down. They have vendor booths, I think hundreds of vendor booths, about 100 celebrities. I was just sitting out in the green room getting ready for this to start, and Lee Majors, the $6 million man, is here. And I'm just having a blast. The Hobbit that stars in Lord of the Rings, everybody in the world knows his name. He's here. And the celebrities are just kind of gathering out there in the green room before they start the autographs and the fans converge upon them. So my thanks to my buddy Dave Farr, who is kind of the financial guy that's behind this whole event. They do at least 4 and maybe 5 of these around the country: Tampa, Atlanta, Indianapolis, Salt Lake, maybe another one that I've forgotten. But it's just a great event, and it's one of these deals where you kind of escape from your daily routine and you kind of blast into the stratosphere and live your fantasy of meeting some of your movie star or voiceover radio people or whatever. And it's just a great thing here. And it's amazing to see how many people come, thousands of people come to this, and they come in costume. And it's just a great thing to see. I'll have to post some pictures on the website that talks about this and give you kind of an idea about what this is like. But if you've never been to one of these, which I had not been for many years, and my buddy Dave kept telling me, "You got to come out to this. You won't believe what you see." Well, I finally came out about 3 years ago, and it has just been a blast to be here. My guest on the show today, he is not here yet, but he'll be here shortly, is a guy named Howard Hayes, who has a hobby of going around the world to go to conventions, particularly the Doctor Who conventions. And if you are a Doctor Who fan, This guy apparently knows all the players involved in that series, has been a fan of theirs and going to various conventions for many years. And I'm excited to talk to him about his hobby. I just think what he does, if I understand it correctly, this is a guy who, you know, has found something that really gets him pumped. He just loves to go to various conventions and meet people involved with Doctor Who and any other type of show that he's interested in. He's a fan on steroids is what he is, and he's really knowledgeable about all of this. And I have a daughter who loves Doctor Who and has been a fan of Doctor Who for quite a while. So I'm really interested to just talk to Howard and find out a little bit about what his life is like. The great thing about what he does is that he has a passion in life for a hobby of his. And I think that passion extends his life. And I think it does for anybody who has a real passion of some kind for something that they're interested in. I've never met Howard. My friend Dave set this up. I did an interview with Quentin Aaron, the star with in the movie The Blind Side. And I interviewed him. He was here last year, and I did the interview from Sandra Bullock. I did the interview last year from this convention with him, and that was a terrific interview. If you want to have some fun and learn how he got the part to play the big stud in The Blind Side, go to the Junk Refund Show podcast or go look up those episodes on bbsradio.com and look for the show about with Quentin Aaron from The Blind Side, and you'll learn some remarkable stuff, particularly how he got that part and the role that his mother has kind of played in his life. His wonderful mother, bless her heart, passed away a number of years ago. But the story about her involvement and her encouragement of him and then him getting the part like his mother predicted is a wonderful story. Look up on anywhere you get your podcast, look up the Junk Refund Show and look for the episode with Quentin Aaron. And you'll be well rewarded, and I think you'll like that episode. When I was here 2 years ago, William Shatner was, I guess, 90, maybe 91, and people would line up to get his autograph. It was $120 a pop, and they would come up to the table, and they would bring all kinds of stuff for him to autograph, and he autographed everything. And you basically got in line, you paid $120 cash only to go get that autograph. And I had one guy that walked up to me, and I said, how many autographs would you like? And he said, 12. And I said, that'll be $1,400. And he goes, okay. And he opens up his wallet and gives me 14 $100 bills. And you'd think he'd bought a cruise ship with that amount of money. He was as happy as could be and was thrilled. He couldn't wait to go meet his idol, maybe? I don't know. I had families come that had an old record album that William Shatner had been on, and they had, you know, the Starship Enterprise model ships or whatever, and all kinds of stuff. I don't know what these are called. I should know this, but I'm not one of these techie guys that goes around the country to these kind of conventions, but these little, I'm going to call them like robot type figures. They're almost like bobbleheads, but they're smaller than that. And they're manufactured, put in a small box, and they're collectible. And he signed a boatload of those as well. So it was just really fun to see. And what's really fun is to see like an older couple who drove here from Rock Springs, Wyoming, which I think is about 3 to 4 hours away, dressed in their Spaceship Enterprise outfits from head to foot, having the time of their life. I don't know if that was like a super date that they were on. I just don't know. But they were having the time of their life. And it was just so much fun to watch them come. And people are dressed up as all kinds of characters. And I think it just gives them a chance to kind of step out of their regular life and go live their fantasy. Old people, young people, families, singles, all kinds of folks come to this convention and just have the time of their life. So I always have to thank my buddy Dave Farr and his wife Emily, who now kind of runs the show, for their kindness and their invitation to let me come and hang out with them, which I thoroughly enjoy doing. And I get to meet a bunch of celebrities, and I just have a blast. I met a lot of people involved with Beverly Hills 90210 from years gone by. People are here, the folks from the Karate Kid, you know, and you go in as a volunteer to use the restroom, and you're standing next to the bully from the Karate Kid, you know, the blonde haired guy, who is just amazing. And I'm getting a text message right now from Dave. I think he's got Howard with him, and I'm just going to tell him, right here where I am. And then I think these guys are going to show up. So bear with me just a second here while I tell him where I am, and we'll be good. So I don't know what this room is called that I'm in, but anyway, I'm here. We'll see if they come popping around the corner. And I'm going to just bear with me again a second here. Last year, Michael J. Fox was here, and I'm going to come back and talk about him. Last year, as he was the big hit here. I think he was $250 for an autograph. And that guy with Parkinson's disease is a inspiration on wheels. I mean, that guy is amazing. I'm definitely going to talk about him before this show's over. Hold on just a second here. Boom. Okay. There. Text sent. Okay. So I think we'll have Howard coming in here anytime. This area that I'm in is kind of nice. It's up above the convention hall, so I can see the whole convention hall. There are about 6 or 7 tables here with 10 chairs around each table, but there's nobody using this dining area right now. I think this is where the celebrities are going to come when they take a break to grab something to eat. But I'm having a blast here, and I'm kind of upstairs off in this corner just because I need to plug this phone in, keep the power on so we can do this show. I flew in this morning from Las Vegas and have only been in Salt Lake for about 2 hours. But it's great to be here, and the FanX convention is just amazing. I'm going to talk about Michael J. Fox for a moment. He was the headliner here last year, and the rumor was that that may have been the last type of show that he was going to do. People lined up and paid big bucks for a chance to get his autograph and then to do a photo op with him. And as you know, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease when he was 29. I don't know how old he is now, but he's battled that disease for decades and has done it with dignity, spelled with all caps. He would sign some autographs during maybe a 20-minute session, and then he would kind of escape into a back room to lie down and kind of just gather himself up a little bit. And then he'd come out and do another session. Every step that guy took to get back to that little room to just get a breather was a fight. Every step was a fight. He had to give that every step. He gave it everything he had just to make the step and to get back into that room. And then after he takes a breather, he comes back out and he does photo ops with dozens, if not hundreds, of fans. And you know, when you're a celebrity and you're having your photo taken with people with their phones and stuff, you always want to look like you're happy, right? Well, here's a guy who's been battling Parkinson's and was the hit of the show last year, who it's everything he can do, I think, just to look kind of normal and happy, so to speak. But boy, was he an inspiration. And I can't remember the name of the guy in the Back to the Future movies, the actor that plays Biff, but he was here last year. I got to meet him, and he's a really kind, nice guy. He was up here where I am now and was overlooking the crowds that were there to see Michael J. Fox. And he was by himself, and I saw him from down on the convention floor. And you have to kind of imagine what's going through his mind as he watches his co-star, fight for every step that, he can get. And, but yet it worked beautifully. And they did a great job, the two of them. And there were others here as well. The principal from the high school was here and, you know, other people that were involved. It was really terrific to just watch this. And it was a total inspiration to watch Michael J. Fox entertain the crowd and basically be their guest is what he was doing. He put himself out every move he made, every autograph he signed. I mean, you should have seen the people coming through with skateboards and, you know, DeLoreans and, you know, all this different stuff to have Michael sign it. And he signed every one. And I've heard that celebrities that sign a lot of autographs, that can wear you out just if you don't have Parkinson's disease. This guy has it and still signed everything for everybody and was flat out terrific. So what you learn by coming here and just watching the celebrities that are here, the fans that are here, the excitement that's here is really cool. I mean, it just really is cool. And, you know, you get, you got Lindsay Wagner and Lee Majors next to each other right here. I'm just looking across the convention center here and the names that are here. You know, it's just a wonderful event. So if you're anywhere in the Salt Lake City area and you want to come hang out and meet some celebrities and have a blast, come down to the Salt Palace, to the convention center, buy a ticket to come into Fan X and come check this out and you will have a blast. Now, you can hear that roar of approval that just went up. That means one of the celebrities just stepped out from behind the black curtain and is now in the booth and is ready to sign autographs. And William Shatner would do that. He and his manager, a great guy named Gary, they would sit there at their desk and people would be lined up and then William would come out, Bill Shatner would come out from behind the curtain and this amazing roar went up from the people in line and he would sign all the autographs for maybe 50 people everybody just loved it. And as soon as he was done, he would disappear and go get something to drink and take a break. Then he'd come back and he'd do another shot. Let me just do this real quick. I just got another text message. In fact, let's do this. Let's take a break for a minute and we'll do a commercial break real quick. Howard is trying to find me and I've got to go see if I can spot him and then we're good. So you're listening to the Junk Refund Show. I'm going to go mobile here for a second and see if I can go find Howard, and then we'll be good to go. And in the meantime, we'll take a break. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on bbsradio.com. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I am here with my new friend, Howard Hayes, who is a real pro at a lot of this stuff, and he's also really humble. He's a really good guy that I have heard about, and I've known about him for about a year. He's just a great guy who has what I've called Howard is like an interesting hobby, but it really is. It's probably more than that. And I haven't told him too much, but I'm gonna Let me just give a quick introduction. Howard, are you from Spanish Fork?
I am from Florida originally.
Okay.
And I moved here about 30 years ago.
Okay.
So I've been to Spanish Fork most of the time.
Okay. I have relatives. I have to ask you at some point about the Rosenbaums or Tuckett's or Leifson's, if you bumped into any of those folks. Okay.
I tried not to.
Okay. Now, all I have done is I have told, she's probably trying to direct you here too, but I have told people that you are a real pro at Doctor Who type stuff, plus I'm sure other stuff, and I described it as kind of a hobby that you have where you've gone all over the world to various conventions, especially the Doctor Who stuff.
Especially, yeah.
Did I get that right?
You're absolutely right.
Okay. So thank you for being here. I've described to people kind of where we are. We're up here above the convention hall, and I'm here with a real Doctor Who pro, plus other things I'm sure besides Doctor Who. So tell everybody how you got started doing this and just kind of tell us all you're doing.
It's kind of a weird thing. Before Doctor Who, before I got into this at all, I was like a total introvert. This is where I would be at this table.
Away from the crowd.
Nobody anywhere around. Anyway, my granddaughter came to me one day about, 20 years ago now.
Okay.
And said, you know, Grandpa, there's this new show called Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And I went, new show?
Yeah.
But I knew it had been on since 1963.
Yes.
But I didn't really know a whole lot about it. My son came to me one day and said he wanted to go to an anime convention in Ogden, Utah. I don't know anything about anime.
What is anime? I don't know what it is.
It's Japanese cartoons.
That's like animation? Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, the idea.
All right. Okay.
And I took him there, and I really didn't want to go, but I took him. And I really enjoyed watching all these kids relate to each other based on their costumes, who they were in these anime cartoons.
Yes.
So I said to my son, I'll tell you what, let's go to England and go to a Doctor Who convention.
Beautiful.
I've never been to one.
Beautiful. Now, I got to interrupt you.
Yes.
How old were you? You said, 20 years ago, something. How old were you when this started with your granddaughter? Said,
20 years ago, I'd have been 55.
Okay, very good. See, there's a reason I asked you that question, because there are a lot of people who get in their 50s, and they say, well, life's over. What am I going to do now? Where am I going to retire? And one of the reasons I'm fascinated by what you're doing is you have kind of found a new life, and you are having so much fun.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay, that's one of the points I wanted to make.
And
go ahead.
My kids look at me today and they go, who are you? You know, because I was not
beautiful.
Not that person before.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, we went and I met my first doctor, which was Colin Baker from way back, you know.
Yeah.
I met some other people. I'm not a fanboy. I don't get excited about that kind of stuff, but I enjoyed meeting them. That was sort of the beginning. Later on, I took my son to a little convention in Colorado Springs.
Okay.
And there was a gentleman there named Fraser Hines, who is the Patrick Troughton's second doctor's companion. He's actually been in more episodes than anybody, Fraser Hines. And I had met Fraser once before somewhere, just casual, anyway. So I'm sitting, being my introvert, up in front in a chair by myself, and for some reason he walked up to me and said, would you like to go to dinner with us tonight?
Beautiful.
And I kind of looked up at him, and he knew I was going to say, no, you know, because we're in different worlds.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And he said, oh, we're just going for pizza, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
So I went. Anyway, Fraser and I have been friends for years, and we've traveled the world together and stuff.
Wow.
In fact, we're doing a Doctor Who cruise in December this year.
Really?
Right. And he'll be in Chicago at Chicago TARDIS, which is a Doctor Who convention, in November.
Is that where you were last year?
We talked about
trying to get together with you in Chicago about Thanksgiving time, right?
That's correct.
What's that convention called again?
Chicago TARDIS.
Okay.
And it's
gotcha.
A great convention. But anyway, Fraser and I are going to take a train from Chicago to Miami.
Love it.
And then do the Doctor Who cruise for 10 days.
Love it.
Well, we love it, but the promoter of the cruise is really worried about us getting there late. But, you know, we'll figure out something. But anyway, so, I started going to these Doctor Who conventions, and I'm not exactly sure how it happened, but I started meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have a good friend, Ken Deep, who runs Long Island Poo.
Huh.
Who is in Long Island. And,
huh.
And him and I would travel together to England, and I would throw a dinner.
Nice.
For Doctor Who people that I know, not that are acquaintances, but that I know.
Yes.
And I would always invite 50 or more.
Awesome.
So everybody in that room was in Doctor Who, and if I was walking down the street, which has happened, they would know me and call my name. Now,
beautiful.
But I cannot tell you from here to here how all this happened. But it's changed. It's really changed my life.
Yeah, I think it has.
Yeah. So I started doing not only Doctor Who, but I would go to the London Film and Comic Con. Not because I'm here, but Salt Lake Fan X is one of my favorite Comic Cons.
Oh, that's good to hear.
They have a great selection of people.
Yeah.
I get to meet people. I usually, and I'm not sure how this happened, but every time I do a convention, I usually throw a dinner.
Yes.
Afterwards for some of the guests and some of my friends.
Now I gotta ask you about this. This, introverts don't throw dinners, right? I mean, they don't. It's not extroverts throw dinners and all their friends, right?
That's right, the opposite.
Okay, so your first dinner that you threw, when you made the decision to do that, did something in your head say, I'm not sure about this, this is outside our comfort zone, or did you just go, screw it, I'm going to throw this dinner, it's what I want to do?
You know,
that's a change in your life, isn't it?
It is.
Or did you think back about Frasier when he invited you to go to dinner and you went,
well, here's it. And here's what happened. I got a call, and I live in Utah, and I got a call from Frasier Hines. He goes, Howard, where are you? I said, I'm at work. Where are you? He goes, I'm in Houston at a show called Comic Palooza. Then he said, wait a minute, somebody else wants to talk to you. So he puts somebody else on the phone, and it's a gentleman I know, his name is Ian McNeice. He's big in England. He's in, he's been in Doctor Who, but Doc Martin was a series that he was in. He said, Howard, I've got a 3-day pass for you if you want to come.
Wow.
And I said, well, when is it? Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I got on a plane.
Good.
And I went there.
Good.
And, I did a dinner that night. It wasn't something I had planned on doing. For about 5 people.
Okay.
That's me, Frasier, Ian, and a couple other people that I met that were Doctor Who people, but have become really good friends since then. Then the next time I did one was similar to that, but 4 of the guests that were there was Doctor number 5, 6, 7,
and 8. Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
So I took them, and I had, the Hulk, what's the name?
See, I'm not one of these pros that can just drop all the names for you.
I've got them all written down here.
We'll call him Jim.
Yeah,
I don't
Jim. Jim, who was the Hulk, and gosh dang it.
That's fine.
Anyway.
See, I should know that, but I don't know.
Yeah, there were a couple other celebrities that came to that dinner. And one of them's name is Glenn Morshower, he's a character actor. You'd recognize him if you saw him. He usually plays a military guy.
Yeah.
And one year I was at the London Film and Comic Con, and I went in to get a photo op with him.
Yeah.
And he kind of looked at me kind of strange when I came in, but he didn't say anything.
Okay.
And I did the photo op. And as I'm walking out, I feel a hand on my shoulder. I turn, and he goes, how much do I owe you for dinner? he had remembered me from a year back, you know. So anyway, this particular dinner, I invited a few other friends who, one of them was a security guy for one of the actors.
Yeah.
And there was a young lady that was with him that I fell in love with. Of course, my wife didn't appreciate it.
That can happen at these conventions. I don't know.
She's actually here.
Yeah.
Sam.
Okay.
And she's worked with other agents. So she has been instrumental at times in getting other guests to come. I wish I could give you a list of the people I've taken to dinner.
Oh, no, I got 2 to throw at you. Just because
go ahead.
I did not know this. few years ago. I have four kids. My oldest daughter, named Kelly.
Okay.
Lives in Utah, 36. And I had no clue. She was a Doctor Who fanatic. She loves Doctor Who. And I found that out 5 years ago, something like that. So I sent her a text. And I said, I've got this guy named Howard. He's going to be my guest on the show this week. He does all things Doctor Who. He knows most, if not all, of these people. And she has a little four-month-old child. And she said, I would love to come up there, but I think maybe, you know, next year or something. But she said, Matt Smith.
Yay, my favorite.
And David Tennant,
yep,
as the Doctor,
yep,
are two of her favorites.
Yep, that's
anything true. You want to say about those two? And
well,
I'm just passing that along, okay, to you from Kelly.
I'm more of a classic Doctor, not necessarily fan, but those are the ones I know.
Okay.
Classic Doctors include Doctor 1 through Doctor 7.
Okay.
And Doctor 8 was in a standalone movie.
How many Doctors have we had so far?
We're up to 15 now.
15. Okay, so 1 through 7, right?
1 through 7.
Okay.
1, 2, and 3 I never met because they're gone. They're dead.
Okay.
Doctor number 4 is probably the most famous Doctor, Tom Baker. He was a Doctor for 7 years.
Okay.
The one with the scar that most,
yes,
people recognize.
Yes.
And then I know Doctor 5, 6, 7, and 8 personally. They all know.
Nice.
I've stayed at Sylvester's house.
Nice.
You know, they, anyway.
Nice.
Number 9 would be Chris Eccleston, who had a falling out with Doctor Who, so he was not, didn't do convention.
Okay, okay.
David Tennant, who is most of the women's favorite.
Okay.
He's very handsome, very sexy looking, you know.
Yeah.
I think he's too skinny, personally. Yeah. But he's a very, very nice guy. He's actually married Doctor Number 5's,
oh, really,
daughter.
Oh.
So, and the funny thing is, in one of the episodes,
a little Doctor Who family going there.
In one of the episodes, she plays the Doctor's daughter.
Oh.
So he's great. Anyway, that's her. But he's great. Some of the best episodes of Doctor Who produced, like Blink and Midnight stuff, were David Tennant. When David Tennant regenerated,
yes,
into the next,
yes,
Doctor, Matt,
yes,
Smith,
yes,
he was a little quirky and it was hard to get used to him, but he's my favorite. He was like a child genius type thing. He,
okay,
had all the best monologues, the best writing and stuff. Then after him, we had Peter Capaldi, because most of the Brits wanted an older man as the Doctor, so,
okay,
he began.
Okay.
He's very famous in England for a show called The Thick of It, which I've never seen.
Okay.
I know he's very foul-mouthed in that, but that's hard enough. And then we had our first female Doctor.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Who, she was great.
Keep going.
Yeah. But the writing was not really up to par, and they had,
okay,
too many companions.
Okay.
Basically, Doctor Who is through the eyes of the companion.
Okay.
They're the ones that,
yeah.
You know,
okay.
And they,
yeah,
have too many of them. So that kind of, so if you've got three companions, you're really writing for two, and then you're taking some of the lines from the other two and giving them to the,
gotcha,
third guy. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha.
But now we have Shooty, who is a black Doctor.
Okay.
And we have the original writers back again, you know. So we all thought it's,
oh, really?
Really, really great.
Yes.
And I'm not really impressed with the new,
oh, movie, okay.
I may be in the minority.
Has this been a continual running show since 63?
The day President Kennedy was assassinated.
November 22nd.
Was the day, the first episode. It didn't,
oh,
do very,
gosh,
well.
Oh, my God.
Because the world was watching.
Well, everybody's watching something else.
I'm watching that. Somehow, Verity Lambert, who was the producer, was the first woman producer there, talked them into letting her do that same show again the next week.
What connection do you have? You seem to have a strong connection to England or London, because when your granddaughter came to you and said, hey, let's go do this, and you went up to Ogden, right? An hour away, an hour and a half away. Her son of death. Okay. But then, when it was time to go to an actual convention, the next thing, bam, you went over the pond to England, right?
Never been there before.
Oh, okay.
That was part of the,
that was part of the, yeah.
So we went to a little place called Chesham, England.
Yeah.
I have no idea where it is.
Good for you.
But I would go, but I got hooked on it.
Good.
And there was a convention called Dimensions, which was in Newcastle, which was way up close to Scotland.
Right.
And I would go to that one. And I eventually started helping this guy. I'd give him a little extra money to bring more guests, which was a mistake, as I found out later, because when I quit giving him money, he couldn't do it anymore. But, you know. But I've met so many, and they're such nice people.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Most of the ones that I meet, that's their livelihood now. It's basically Doctor Who conventions or other conventions. Because they're not getting a whole...
Are they going on all the time around the world, these conventions?
They're
like a dozen of them a year? Or they're like five a year?
Yeah.
They're like...
I just... Sylvester McCoy is the seventh Doctor.
Okay.
He was the one that the BBC decided to cancel after his tenure.
Okay.
So the seventh Doctor was the end of the classics.
All right.
I spent a month and a half with him just recently.
Wow.
I flew to England. This is great. I flew to England, got on the Queen Mary 2.
Beautiful.
6 days back to New York with him.
Beautiful.
Then I flew home. He came and stayed with me at my place for a week, and I took him out to the salt flats.
Nice.
That kind of stuff.
Nice.
Then we went to Tennessee for a convention, not a Doctor Who convention, but a convention. Then we went to Nashville and did the Grand Ole Opry and Dollywood.
Wow.
Then we flew to Connecticut.
Wow.
And did a convention there. And he flew home, and Matt and I, his agent, we went on to the Doctor Who convention.
Wow.
That was a lot of fun. And I was just, and I, you know, they're just, When I did my first one in Cheshire, I didn't know any of these people.
And you're an attendee.
I'm always an attendee.
Always an attendee.
Right.
All right.
So I'm sitting in a little place like this.
Yes.
Here we are. There's like 10 tables in there. It's a break room. And Louise Jameson, who was with the fourth Doctor.
Yes.
Leela, who was like an Amazon woman. She came in, and I'm the only one sitting in there. She says, "Can I sit by you?" Which I thought was really weird. And I said, "Well, sure."
Sure.
And started talking. That was the first time in my life I realized that they were people, just like me and you and everybody else.
That's awesome.
And from that point forward, that's how I treated them. And they love it. And I've met a lot of different celebrities where you go up and you get their autograph, you talk to them for 2 minutes. And, you know, I got on the elevator one year. Year later, and the gentleman was, and he goes, "Hello, Howard."
Oh, that's awesome.
And I've had him come up to me and go, "Howard, right?"
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I don't fanboy with them. I talk to them like they're people. And they,
like they're the guy next door, or like a buddy of yours or something.
Yeah. And I'm still waiting to be fanboy. You know? I'm still waiting for that to happen. I've come close. There's a lot of really good people in Doctor Who. There are a few in what we call New Who, which is from...
There you go. That's
Ninth
a good name.
Ninth Doctor Forward that I do know, but they're not the Doctors.
So here's some quick math. The show's been on since 63.
Correct.
40 years plus 20. 60 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Approximately 30
years. Close.
And you've had 15 Doctors, right?
Yes.
So each Doctor is on for about 4 years. That's an average. Am I right?
It's an average. Well, other than.
I mean, I know that's not a set.
No, it's about right. It's about right. But
that's about how long.
Right. When a new guy comes in, like, okay, Doctor Number 4 is the most famous. He was 7 years.
Oh, okay.
But after that, almost everybody does about a 3 year, 4 year maximum stint.
Gotcha.
Now,
because they I'm going to say evolve.
They evolve into.
They change character, but it's the same Doctor Who. It's just they come back.
Right. But it's a very...
That's somebody else.
It's a very unique show because it's the only show I can think of where the main character...
Yes.
...changes.
Yes. I learned that recently when I was doing a little review to get ready to talk to you. I learned that.
Yeah. They had to come up with... When William Hartnell started forgetting his... He was old. Started forgetting his lines and stuff. They felt, well, we've got two options. We can try to figure out how to... Just throw in a new Doctor
right. Or
cancel the show.
Right.
So they came up with this idea of when the Doctor is about to die,
yes.
He can regenerate
yes.
Before he dies totally into a new Doctor.
And the show lives on.
And the show lives on.
That's brilliant.
And for it to be successful is amazing. but it is.
That's brilliant.
You know, and
that's awesome stuff. That's awesome stuff. All right, I'm gonna take a break here for about a minute. We'll be back. This is a fascinating conversation with a former introvert who now kind of runs the Doctor Who show globally. I'm just having a blast listening to him. Howard Hayes, a wonderful guy out here in Utah who knows all things Doctor Who. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook. We're coming to you live from the FanX convention in Salt Lake City, day one. Get down here if you're anywhere in the Intermountain West region. It's worth the trip. We'll be back in just a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
All right, we're gonna jump back in. I am here talking to my new friend Howard.
So I'm on my way in October to Germany for one called Time Lag. And there's a guy in Doctor Who plays Davros, which is the villain, you know, he created this all stuff. And his name is Terry Molloy. And I had a kid come up to me and he goes, "You're Terry Molloy." I said, "Oh, no, I'm not." I think, "Yes, you are." I said, "No, I'm not. I'm American." And he pulls out his phone and he pulls up a picture and he goes, "You're Terry Molloy." So me and Terry, we have this ongoing joke, you know, he calls me Terry and I call him Howard.
See, I just think this is fascinating. It's such a great story. And I have a junk removal business. And so I'm out there hauling, you know, cleaning out people's homes, right? And we do something different. We take the good stuff and we sell it and we give money back to the guy that hired us.
Oh, really?
Nobody else does that. So you can make money off your junk man, right? So we go all over the country. People have us doing this thing. Well, so this radio show talks about not only how do you get the stuff out of your living room and your garage, but how do you get the junk out of your life as well?
Oh, that's interesting.
See, you've done that. Not that you had, you're on an adventure. And this adventure has been going on for 20 years, right? About?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I never thought of it that way.
And it is a great, see, you're on an adventure. And that's what life is supposed to be about. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you. Because we'll talk a little bit about that and just let people know.
You know, I do I usually do a dinner of some sort at every convention I go to.
Yeah.
And when I go up to ask somebody, it's basically like, "Well, who are you?"
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah,
they don't know who I am.
But that's now, a good card to play.
But sometimes you'll go up and then they'll say, "Well, my name's Howard." And they go, "Are you that Howard?" I'm serious.
You go, "Yeah.
I have another guy who called me and said, 'Can I take you to dinner?'" I said, "Yeah." He wants to do a documentary on it.
See, this is so great.
But that's where I'm an executive producer on a TV show, or a pilot in England. And they wrote an article about this millionaire American that saved them. I'm not a millionaire. I'm not even close.
Right.
I don't know who
let him think that.
But it's crazy.
So I'm here at the Salt Palace Convention Center overlooking the FanX convention, which I think is its 11th year this year.
It is.
My friend Dave Farr and his brother Dan, who's the CEO, and his wife who runs the show, are great people. And Dave is the one, I've been a friend of Dave's for 40 years, and he's the one that mentioned Howard to me. And so we're sitting here kind of off to the side of this convention talking with one of the world's experts on Doctor Who. I mean, you gotta be, because you've been involved in this for... Why?
Oh, I wish.
Why is the Doctor Who series so popular? What sets it apart?
I believe it's Doctor Who is the concept is He accepts everybody. From a different planet, different sex, different culture, different whatever. Everybody's accepted in Dr. Who. Most of the writers are,
from all over the planet, so to speak. First group?
Yeah, but the best concept about Dr. Who is the TARDIS, the time and dimensional, whatever.
Yeah.
He can go anywhere, space and time. He can go to another planet, but he has this affinity for Earth. He loves the people on Earth. So people on Earth love him.
And the TARDIS is kind of like, for you non-Doctor Who fans, I'm a rookie Doctor Who fan, but the TARDIS is kind of like the Superman phone booth where great things happen inside, but the TARDIS can travel.
Right, and it's bigger on the inside than outside.
And it's bigger on the inside than on the outside, which is brilliant.
Well, what happened was the TARDIS used to have a cloaking device, so wherever or whenever it would go, it could assimilate and look like it's supposed to be there. So it was a British phone box that the police could temporarily detain you in and lock the doors you'd be in there. Well, it got stuck. The cloaking device got stuck. So it's always this police box now. But it has a filter around it so that you don't notice it all the time. But it's always...
See, that's just brilliant.
It is. But, I mean, it's brilliant. A little box. And, of course, you know, they open the door and they look in. The first thing they do is they close the door and walk around it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's bigger on the inside.
See, that's a great concept. That's brilliant. Somebody's brilliant thinker.
And the TARDIS is almost alive. The TARDIS doesn't always take him where he wants to go,
mm-hmm.
but it takes him where he needs to go.
Are there Doctor Who people at this convention year in and year out?
Usually. This year, Sreeba Hajimo, who was the Martha with David Tennant, was going to be here, but she's not here. Last year, we had... I'm getting so old, I can't remember anything. Anyway, we had three.
You don't act and look old, so keep going.
I am. Anyway, we had three last year.
Okay.
One was Karen Gillan, who was a companion.
Yep.
With Matt Smith in the very beginning.
Yep.
And then you had Arthur Darvill, who was ends up being her husband.
Yep.
And then I can't think of, she played River Song. I'm sorry, I can't remember.
That's all right. You're better than I can't help you. I would help you if I could, but I can't help you.
But anyway, she was a very unique character. She's traveling in the opposite direction in time than the Doctor. So she knows things about the Doctor in the future that he doesn't know, but she can't tell him.
Oh,
so she's moved. So she's
that's very, a fabulous thing.
Very,
to do.
I got to work with her last year.
Wow.
And she's a phenomenal actress. She was actually in ER.
Yes.
I apologize.
All right. No. I got it. Okay. So I got to ask you this.
Yeah.
It was your grandson that invited you to go up to Ogden to this first convention, right? When you're about 55. Give or take.
Keep reminding me of that.
It's okay. What did you do professionally for your career before this?
I'm
just curious.
I have a direct mail advertising company.
Okay.
We do junk mail.
Okay.
For car warranty people, which they call me, I hang up immediately.
Okay.
We do mail people.
That's okay.
But I've been doing that for about 40 years.
Still doing it now?
I work about 4 hours a week.
Okay.
That's
not a bad schedule.
No, it's not bad at all. We buy specific data, and I have to process the data.
I don't know
how to do it.
Okay.
So I log into my computer at work, no matter where I am in the world.
Right.
Saturday.
Right.
Do that.
Right.
And then I walk away and go, have fun.
Okay. Now, the reason I ask you that question, when you talk about being an introvert, and then you go to a convention, and then you fly to England, and then you start taking people to dinner, which is a great move.
It's crazy.
I used to be the bishop of a church congregation.
Okay, sure.
And the teenagers in that congregation, we had a congregation that had probably 70 teenagers. Half
wow.
fat boys, all of them coming to church every week. Great kids. But they would start coming in to see me, and they'd go, Bishop, I just feel like I don't have very many friends in this congregation. And I got that 3 or 4 times from different kids. And so I started to kind of think, well, when the 5th kid came in and said the same thing, and these are all brilliant, awesome kids. When the 5th kid came in, I just sat and I said, when's the last time you threw a party?
Interesting.
And I started to encourage them to take the initiative to throw the event that would invite these other kids to come. And I did one at my house for my daughter. And, you know, if I'm one of these extrovert guys, one of the reasons I do a radio show, you know, and I tend to make friends wherever I go. It's just
that's the way my brother is.
Yeah, it's just, and half the world's kind of introverted, half of it's extroverted, and they're all great people, you know.
They just don't have that avenue.
Yes, yes. But you have kind of jumped from one side to another to the point where you not only come to a convention, but you throw a dinner for people.
Yeah.
Which is a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
And allows you to meet more and more people and have more and more fun.
Right.
So when you come to this convention, well, here's a question I want to ask. You do so many exciting things around the world with this interest that you have, this hobby that you have. What's the most exciting thing on your calendar right now that you just can't wait to go do? Have you got something like that out there?
The most exciting thing that I'm looking forward to is taking my family on a cruise in next year.
Yes.
From Iceland.
Yes.
To Norway.
Beautiful.
Belgium to the UK and back home.
Beautiful.
I have learned too late in life that family is the most important thing.
Okay.
And I love my family, and I try to do what I can with them. I spend a lot of time with my grandkids. But Doctor Who's great. These conventions are great. A lot of things that are great. But that's the one thing I'm looking forward to the most.
That's a great answer.
Well, it's...
That kind of says where your priorities are in the midst of all this other stuff that you could easily spend the rest of your life doing,
well,
I guess, right?
It's funny because my kids will go, why are you doing that dinner? You could take us somewhere. You know? I go, well, and like, okay, as an example, on this family cruise, I'm
right.
taking Ian McNeice and his partner, who Doctor Who.
Nice.
Rob Sherman and his wife, who wrote one of the Doctor Who episodes.
Nice.
And Michael Trouton and his wife. Michael Trouton's father was Patrick Trouton, who was the second Doctor.
Nice.
They're great friends of mine.
Nice.
So I'm taking them because they... Okay, I have my family.
Right.
I have my Doctor Who family.
Right.
And some of them I love as much as my kids.
Yeah, so that's all right.
You know?
That's all right.
And I've got those that I kind of want to bring in closer. That,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And I always like one of these dinners here. Yeah. I always try to invite somebody that I've never met before.
Good.
So I get an opportunity.
It expands your circle of friends.
It does.
Right?
And I don't have a... My circle of friends is very limited.
Really?
Very limited.
See, I would have bet otherwise with all the dinners you throw and all that stuff.
But they're all over the world.
Yeah.
All over the country.
Yes.
They're not, I don't have anybody to like, I mean, my grandson who's 12 years old.
Right.
3 days ago said
right.
to me, Grandpa says, my mom says that you and I are best friends. And I thought, he's probably right, you know. He's 12 years old. I spend more time with him than I do just about anybody. I've got 3 grandkids who live across the street from me. Nixon, Kennedy, and Carter. Then I've got 3 more that live about a mile away. 3 dogs, 3 girls. Then I have 3 more that live... And I've got 2 that live in Mesa, Arizona, if you think it. So, and then I've got...
So you got how many in Utah?
I've got...
About 11 or 12?
I'd have 12.
12 in Utah. Okay. How many in Mesa?
2.
2?
So it's 14 total.
Okay, gotcha.
From 4, I've got 3 granddaughters that were born within 2 weeks of each other.
Wow.
And their birthdays are coming up now. So,
wow.
I'm getting this grandpa. When are we going shopping?
Yeah, that's right.
No, I enjoy the environment. I'm slowing down now. I've got the cane. I'm, you know, but I still go.
You're still doing it.
Go more, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm not it's really weird. I really don't like people that much.
Okay.
Like, if I was in retail business or something, but I love I enjoy working with a guest, not because it's the guest, but that one-on-one with each person that comes up.
Yeah.
To get their autograph.
Yeah.
I have a relationship with them for 5 minutes or 2 minutes or whatever it is.
Right.
And I love that.
Yeah.
You learn so much about people and so many things about
yourself.
See,
that's such a great story. This is why this is so interesting to me, because you're a man who's on an adventure. You got grandkids that love you, and kids that love you, I'm sure, as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
When I was 14, my grandfather passed away, and I was very close to him. And I'm named after him. I'm named after my dad, and I'm named after his dad. And I know firsthand the benefits of having a great grandpa. I've been there and done that. And I now have two grandkids myself. One of them is only 4 months old. And they're starting to call me Grandpa Cook, like I used to call my grandpa Grandpa Cook. And I still sit back and go, when did that sneak up on me? I mean, I'm 66. And I'm sitting here going, I'm the Grandpa Cook now, right?
I love being a grandpa.
And everybody will tell me how great it is being a grandpa, and I'm just getting my feet wet.
Yeah.
And you're another person that's having a blast with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And if I had your, 14 grandkids sitting around this table interviewing them, I'd get story after story after story about how great you are and what the impact you're making on their lives.
Maybe.
Yeah, I would bet that I'd be right.
I'm good to my kids and grandkids. But I wish I had started earlier. I wish I had been a better father. I wish I could have been the father that I am as a grandfather with my kids, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been through two divorces.
Okay.
My one daughter, when she was 13, told me she hated me.
Okay.
She didn't.
Yeah.
But it hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
And I realized after that point that, saying I love you, which is very hard for me.
Yes.
Should have been very easy.
Yes.
I do love it.
Yes. It's not an easy thing to do, though. You're not alone. It's not an easy thing to do. And it's saying that you love somebody is a tough thing, can be a tough thing, regardless of who it is. That is not an easy thing.
Right. And if we say it too much, they don't believe it.
Yes.
But Doctor Who has taught me a lot of things. The people in Doctor Who have taught me a lot of things. There's a lot of wisdom within these guys.
Yes.
And ladies. And they're all as sweet as they can be. They love me. It's crazy. And it's not because I buy them dinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the beginning, I started worrying about that.
Oh, that you may be buying their admiration or something?
Yeah.
That's your humility coming out. That's a good thing.
No, I don't.
You're concerned about how you're coming across. Right?
I told Dave last night, I said, well, I got to go pick up my VIP pass that I bought. He goes, why did you buy it? they would have given me one.
Sure.
I don't ask for that.
That's smart. They really appreciate that, too.
When I would take people to dinner, in the beginning, I would take them to dinner Friday night. Then
right.
I would go see them on Saturday because I've had a conversation with them. They're becoming friends now.
Right.
To get their autograph, and they wouldn't charge me for it. And I don't do that. That's not what this is about. And I try to explain, but they say the same thing. I'm not charging you because you bought me dinner.
Right.
It's because we now have a
relationship. We're friends.
Even though it's small.
You're getting the friends discount.
Yeah.
All right. Right? And you deserve it.
I don't know that I deserve it, but I like it.
All right. So I'm going to ask you two questions and kind of wrap up. This has really been fun talking to you. You're a great guy, and I can see why Dave suggested having you on this show. Tell the non-Doctor Who fans who don't know much about it, tell them why they should watch an episode of Doctor Who. Tell them what they're missing.
That's a question that's been asked many, many times. Doctor Who, when you first start watching, is the corniest, nonsensical thing you'll ever watch. It's character driven. You have to be invested in the character. There are episodes I would recommend if somebody were to just start watching Doctor Who.
Yeah.
They would start with, I mean, there's some great episodes of the Ninth Doctor that is, are still very emotional thing. But I would start with Blink.
Okay. That's the name of the episode.
Name of the episode is Blink with David Tennant.
All right.
It's the least Doctor Who episode of any of them.
Okay.
But it's great.
Okay. Good. That's a good
episode. Introduces some great characters. There's one called Midnight, which I think is a fabulous episode, and it's very psychologically, but they're all, you know, Doctor Who, when it was first came on, was considered to be a children's show.
Yes.
And it was very historically accurate, and they tried to do a lot of stories about history.
Okay.
Well, they've kind of veered away from that. I'd have to say today the writing is not as good as it used to be.
Okay.
But if you just were to take the David Tennant, Matt Smith block.
Yes.
And watch those, you'll not be disappointed.
Good.
You've got to follow through.
Okay.
The very first episode that I watched of the new Doctor Who.
Yes.
Was Autons. Which
okay.
are like mannequins. They're plastic, but they're
okay.
actually alive.
Okay.
Corny as heck.
Okay.
But it introduces something from the past, which I didn't know anything about. and they're always doing that. I just think it's one of those series where you can feel like you're actually involved in it.
Great.
You know?
Great.
It's a story about me.
That's a great statement right there.
Yeah.
It's a story you can relate to it because it's a story about me.
I can be one of those companions and you talk about an adventure. The companions in Doctor Who have the absolute greatest adventures of a lifetime.
That's awesome.
It changes them totally.
That's awesome.
So,
all right, so here's question number two.
Okay.
That's a great answer to question number one. This show that I do, a junk removal show, and we teach people, as I was telling you in the break, we teach people how to get the stuff, the junk, out of their living rooms and out of their garages.
Right.
And a lot of people seem to have it, and everybody feels better when they get rid of it, stuff like that. So we teach people how to do that. But the bigger concept is, how do you get the junk out of your life? So here's my closing question to you. What advice would you give to somebody out there who is not excited about the future and they're not on an adventure? How can you help them catch the spirit of adventure that you have?
Well, because I was an introvert and I was very late getting into this, I could afford to do this.
Okay.
I think a lot of the problem is we don't feel like we can spend the money to go do something. You don't have to go far away. You can start with that anime convention in Ogden. You know.
Yeah. Good point.
You go. You meet people who... I went and saw a concert a long time ago. It was Steve Martin.
Yes.
He was one of the first comedians that sold out an arena.
Yes.
And you walk into the arena, and everybody got arrows through their heads.
Yes.
They're all there for the exact same reason. And you can play off that. You can suck that in, you know, and everybody's having a good time. Just go something like that.
Just kind of get out of your house and go someplace and keep your eyes open.
Right.
Right? While you're there.
Now, you
try something new.
Right.
And right?
Obviously, when you're single, it's easy to do things because you can just do it.
Right.
When you get married, now you got to compromise between you and her.
Correct.
When you start having children, now you've got to bring in the babysitters. All
correct.
That stuff. It gets
more
harder and harder and harder to do. But when you're young, my dad, you know, we were always brought up, you know, you take care of your family.
Right.
Well, I took that to mean work.
Okay. Yeah.
That's not necessarily what that means.
Well, I understand.
You know that now, you know.
I understand, yeah.
But if you can just do anything, you know, within the church it's really good because there's
right.
so many things you can do.
Right.
But it's the same circle all the time.
Right.
You got to be able to break out of that circle every once in a while. It's not easy to do.
Well, I'll wrap it up with this because this is something you don't know about me. When I met Dave Farr as a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints out in Missouri.
Okay.
He was my last buddy that they partnered us up with before I came home for my 2 years of service, right? So I was the first guy Dave got. He was the last guy that I got. And I don't know for sure still to this day what I did, but he thinks that what I did to help him get started was brilliant.
Good.
And I can't tell you what it is, but that's okay, right? But we've had a 40-year friendship. When I came home from that two-year experience, I got the idea from the guy that supervised this to go around the world. So I got two of my mission buddies, and we came home. We worked in the summer and fall semester. We took off. We went around the world in 80 days.
That
and,
was,
and I went to 25 countries in 80 days as a 21-year-old kid.
I couldn't do that in 21.
Right? And I had the adventure of a lifetime. And so now I've looked back on that adventure for 40 years, and you can understand why when I'm talking to somebody who says, hey, let's go to England to go to this convention, that is right down my alley, because I the whole idea of going someplace and then learning a few things and putting yourself in a situation you've never been in before is how you get all the growth in life.
It is.
Right?
Well, see, I got drafted when I was 20.
Okay.
So I was in the Army. I was in the military. So my first experience traveling was when I went to Korea.
Yes.
You know, I was guaranteed Vietnam, but I ended up
yes.
in Korea. And in 1970, it was a mess.
Yes, it know? Was.
So there, I had no desire to do what you did.
Yeah.
Go and do that. I
yeah.
wish I had. I look back on that now and I think, you obviously have the time of your life. You may not have known it at the time. I take my kids to France. They
yeah.
could have cared less.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden they go, I've been there.
And you know what? And here's another, I'll wrap it up with this because yeah. this is a good thought based on what you just said. In honor of my daughter Kelly, who is a big Doctor Who fan, when she was growing up, I one time took her on a bus trip from Washington DC to Atlanta, overnight bus trip. So with a group of, you know, 18 to 30 year olds from our church, they let me tag along because my brother was in that group. And we went down to Atlanta to watch a BYU Georgia Tech football game. I took her down to watch a football game, right? I've taken other kids one-on-one to Orlando to Walt Disney World. I've taken them to New York to go to Broadway plays. And I even took our family over to London for Thanksgiving one time because my parents were over there doing some church missionary work. So we went over Thanksgiving.
Cool.
But so I asked her one day when, as I thought about these different things, you know, where I'd taken her, what I'd done, you know, as kind of a good dad, I said, of all the things that we did, what activity mattered the most to you of all these things? I'm just curious as a dad. And you know what she said? When we went in the backyard and played catch.
I did the exact same thing with my kids. We were sitting around talking one time about all the things that we've done as well. And I said, what was to you was it's when you would take us over to the elementary school and let us skate.
Yes.
And I thought,
what did that teach you? I that was an eye-opener for me.
For me, too. But I had never thought of that, you know. That was just something we did.
Yes.
But to them, for some reason, I don't know if it was their age or what it was, but for some reason, that was the thing they remember the most.
Yes.
Not going to
Yeah. Yeah. See, we kind of think as parents, I got to take them to, you know, Atlanta to have some real
yeah.
fun, right?
Yeah.
Or I got to take them to L.A. to Walt Disney, to Disneyland or something. It's more about just taking time to be with them. It doesn't really matter what you do. Would you agree? You're nodding your head. You're agreeing with that, right?
And
all right.
That's what I regret in life. I should have spent more time. I spend more time with my grown kids now than ever, but I should have spent more time. But I'm kind of proud of the fact that the one thing that they revere the most is that time that we spent just going to the elementary school.
Simple.
And them skating on the...
Simple.
Yeah, simple thing. No money, nobody involved.
Yep. No airfare.
No
cruises. Just go to the elementary school and play.
Yeah.
Well, folks, that I don't think we can end this show on a better note of a couple of guys here that are adventurers that have seen the world a little bit. And Howard Hayes has a great story, and I'm just thrilled. First of all, thank you for taking the time to be here and to do this show. And you can listen to this episode. We'll turn it into two podcasts. I'll send you a copy of the audio, and you can do whatever you want to with it, and et cetera. But just take the time to spend the time with the people that matter most to you, and we don't care where it is,
exactly.
Close at home or afar, take the time to spend the time with them, and you'll have kids and grandkids that love you like Howard Hayes' kids and grandkids loves him, I'm sure. And I just can't thank you enough for doing this. It's been great to talk to you and just learn your story. And I can understand why so many people love to call you their friend.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
That makes sense?
It does. And I get it a lot, and it's really humbling because I don't know. I try to be nice to everybody.
Well, that's good.
I mean, even here, I've probably got 20 people I don't even think about.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
come up and give me a hug,
yeah.
stuff, you know,
yeah.
and just from maybe one time.
See, that's a great lesson. He's kind of, not that he had any junk in his life before,
okay.
that's not what it is, but he's kind of getting rid of some of that stuff because he's replaced it with so many positive experiences.
Totally agree with that.
Right?
That's what you want to do. You want to get rid of the negative stuff that you've been carrying with
right.
you and do something positive. Forget about that negative
right.
stuff. That's hard to do sometimes.
That's the bigger picture of why I do this show. That's it, what we just talked
well,
about. So thanks again to Don, who's a fabulous producer. Thanks for all you do. Thanks to Howard Hayes, my new friend here, who has a great story and can teach you, just by listening to this episode, can give you some great ideas about how to make more friends and be happier in your life, because it's working for him, and I'm thrilled to call him my new friend. It's been a privilege to interview you, to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks
much.
So much. You're welcome. Thanks for listening in, folks. We'll see you next Thursday at 3 o'clock. It's my favorite time of the week, 3 o'clock Eastern on the Junk Refund Show. And go watch the episode called Blink of Doctor Who. If you haven't watched any of those episodes yet, you'll be rewarded. That's my promise. Take care. We'll see you next week. Thanks.
Yeah, my sister.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.